Please listen carefully.
Hello, universe, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Amelia Buckley.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to help make it one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And also, we share these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, happy Labor Day-worthy podcast. Today is Tuesday, the 7th of September, 2021. Good morning, Christy. How was your Labor Day yesterday?
Fine. I labored.
You labored on Labor Day?
I did. I'm in the middle of applying for I'm working on a grant application with a colleague. This is through the World Business Academy, where I'm the executive director. So it's the nonprofit hat I've been wearing. So we're working on a grant, which is due today. So it's been a hectic weekend, especially since I had to also move back into my house after being gone from the termites, which we no longer have.
Good.
If we ever did. But yes, I do have very clean food cupboards now because everything.
And you checked some major things off the bucket list this week.
Oh,
not
yeah.
The bucket list, but the to-do list.
The to-do list, definitely. Big to-do list weekend. and so, you know, I'll have more to do this afternoon because the grant is not due until midnight tonight, Pacific time. So my anxiety is not yet lifted. But in the meantime, It was a Labor Day. I was working. How about you? How was your Labor Day?
I was also working. I was, you know, kind of working light. I did take the afternoon off to take a fun hike after work, but I also labored. The news does not sleep.
No, it doesn't.
But it was good. It was a good weekend, you know, camping and hiking and fun stuff here. So,
yeah,
and sometimes I'm kind of
world.
Excited to get back to work on Monday morning. Sometimes I miss it.
That is the best kind of job.
Yeah.
That you actually enjoy it. I enjoy my work as well. So, and part of it is I love working with you and Summers and the whole Optimist Daily team. We have a fantastic group of people.
We do. And we have a fantastic set of stories on the Optimist Daily this morning.
We do. We do.
Which
Absolutely.
One caught your eye?
Well, I had to go with one that when I read the headline, I was like, what? Huh? So I'll read the headline, then I'll explain what it is. So, okay. Invisible teeth aligners help Ford make more eco-friendly cars. And so, I don't know, I was thinking, what, Invisalign, what's going on here? And actually, that's kind of what we're talking about. And again, this fits into my obsession with the circular economy and in finding ways to clean up our waste stream, right? And instead of looking at stuff as trash that is no longer useful for one purpose, look at it and see, well, how can that be repurposed, reused? Where can we use that in a different way to keep it in the life cycle of stuff? Anyway, this article talks about Ford Motor Company, which is also partnered with HP, the printer company and computer company, but they have a tremendous footprint in the 3D printing world, which I didn't even realize until I read this article. They're working together to absorb some of the waste materials from the invisible teeth alignment molds, like the Smile Direct Club, Invisalign, because they create through their 3D printers, HP, over 40,000 aligners a day. That's what gets printed. They 3D print these, you know, Smile Direct molds. And there's lots of waste that goes along with that. So it's less waste than if they were doing it probably on a manufacturing line, but all the extra dust and the leftover corners, it's still materials which can then be repurposed. And so what it's getting recycled, their Laverge, which is their recycling partner, turns this waste into plastic pellets. And then those pellets go to another company, A. Raymond, which is an automotive parts maker. And then those get incorporated into injection molding that produces new fuel line clips. So again, it's just like looking at how you can find things which would otherwise just go into landfill. And see them for the valuable resources that they are. The other thing that I loved about this article is that it doesn't just give like a feel good feeling about the eco-friendly, you know, they're making their fuel line clips using waste material that would otherwise end up in landfill. It's also cheaper. It's 10% less. And it's also lighter. So it's a better material for the purpose they're using it, and it keeps it out of the landfill. So I thought that was like a triple win there. Right now,
yeah,
they're
cool.
Yeah. Right now they're just being installed on Super Duty F-250 trucks. However, they will probably open it up into other vehicles in the future. Maybe they should, well, I guess they would don't need them for their electric vehicles because they're fuel lined.
Yeah.
There's other parts.
I'm sure there's some other part that they could make for the electric vehicle.
Exactly.
I really like this one because it just got me thinking, you know, this is a great example of it. But then you also think, I'm sure that there is waste supply in every single industry that could be repurposed like this.
Totally.
You know, like every supply chain has a waste supply stream that could definitely be repurposed to other things. So it just kind of got me thinking about, you know, like, what if we could take the waste from all manufacturing and turn it into other stuff, which, you know, sometimes developing a circular economy is just about communication and coordination. You know?
It is. And it's also about building the machines so that instead of putting it right into the trash, it goes into another bucket, which then and maybe it means you have to keep the different types of materials separated so they don't land up in a big pile. But you can use the plastic over here and you can use the metal scraps over here and you use this thing over there. And if you build with that in mind and that becomes sort of a baseline requirement, there might be a more of an upfront cost to build it that way instead of just the fastest, easiest way to get something, you know, or building up. But in the long term, it'll end up being cheaper. This is 10% less right now, and it's also lighter than conventional, so that saves on weight, which also then will make it more fuel efficient. Benefits all around. That's why it's a win-win-win-win-win-win, perhaps. Unfortunately, they are using them in trucks engines that burn gasoline.
A amount of diesel or gasoline.
Yeah.
But living in Montana, I see a lot more F-250 trucks, so maybe that'll make me a little bit more enthusiastic about how loud they are on the road.
Well, yeah, we need them. But as we transition off of this kind of vehicle, it's still a good practice to put into effect. Yeah. What about you? So what else is on the articles today? What do you want to talk about for our
article
Tuesday after Labor Day?
Away from tech and a little bit towards back to school, because you know, maybe not anymore, but traditionally Labor Day was the last weekend of summer before the back to school season.
Yeah.
Now we get a bit of a jump start on that in August, but it is back to school season and the pandemic continues. So there are many complications with that impact our back to school season. So the headline that I wanted to cover today is 4 ways teachers can combat back to school anxieties. So as opposed to last year, when back to school was complicated because of online learning, a lot of people are actually sending their kids back to the classroom because vaccinations and masks and improved knowledge about this disease have made it possible to reopen some of our classrooms in person for the important act of educating our children. But teachers are not only tasked with stocking classrooms and imparting knowledge and a lot of times, you know, funding stocking their classrooms by themselves on pretty minimal pay, but they're also now charged with keeping kids healthy and emotionally supported and also enforcing some of these safety measures that might be considered controversial in some school districts, depending on where they're teaching, that could be met with resistance from parents or other teachers or even students. So, you know, it's important for teachers to prioritize their own mental health as well as support our students.
Yeah.
So we have 4 ways that they can combat these back to school anxieties. And the first is to identify stressors. So essentially, if we pinpoint what's causing our anxiety, it becomes easier to address. So this article recommends writing down things that cause stress in your journal, or even just acknowledging them to yourself verbally, you know, saying to yourself, reminding kids to constantly put their masks back on is stressful to me, and I'm going to acknowledge that out loud and legitimize it. And then the next step is to divide and conquer. So once you identify your stressors, separate them out into a list of what you can take tangible action on and what is perhaps beyond your control, and take tangible actions on the stressors that you can. So you can buy yourself high quality masks. You can ask your school district to invest in air filters for each classroom. And then if there's bigger things that are beyond your control, you can, you know, identify alternative coping mechanisms. You can't maybe as one person stop the pandemic altogether, but you do have the power to make your classroom a safe environment. And then next is set boundaries. So this has been in our news a lot lately. I think as we find the bridge between work and home getting smaller, maybe we're reminding ourselves of the importance of setting boundaries, setting aside personal time for ourselves where you're not checking your email or even perhaps reading the news, but just doing something that is rewarding and mindful for you. And then also, you know, maybe if listening to the gossip in the teacher's lounge is exhausting and you can't really handle it, maybe you eat lunch outside in a quiet, beautiful place.
A little alone time, a little alone quiet time.
And last but not least, we have recognized the good. This is always a theme on The Optimist Daily, but it takes 5 positive thoughts to counteract 1 negative one, which is a statistic that we find ourselves operating on frequently here. So there is value in celebrating the small victories, reminding yourself of what's going right, and acknowledging when you have a win in your day.
No, I think this is such an important concept, Amelia, and I'm glad that it focuses on the supporting the teachers, however small, just giving them a little bit of a pep talk or acknowledging that they need to, they're having a really tough time in this environment that we're in. Teachers have a really tough job, and it's a great job. And I feel like it's one of those areas that just doesn't get enough recognition and how important it is. I mean, I don't know about you, but I still remember teachers who really had an impact on me.
Oh, definitely. There were ones that changed my life.
Yeah. I remember my 5th grade teacher for math was really important to me, and an 8th grade English teacher who told me I would do something to do with writing. And at the time I was like, no, I won't ever. But then now I am. So anyway, I think this is really important. And basically, these are all also tips that we can all use and learn from. Sorry, I cut you off there.
No, I was going to share a funny anecdote. As a kid, I went to a daycare, but it was also kind of like a preschool environment. Like there was some educational components to it. And the woman who ran it was called Annette, and we called her Netta. And she's still a close family friend of ours. But my mom said I would come home and I would accidentally call my mom Netta all the time. And she's like, at first, she's like, it was kind of sad to have your kid calling you like another woman teacher's name. And then she's like, actually, I think it's really cute because it shows that, you know, you're in a learning environment where you feel really, really supported and loved. And that was important.
And then in the part of your brain that had mother, and you also had Netta. So that was like, she was an important female figure to you.
Important caregivers.
I love that. That's a sweet little anecdote.
Yeah.
All right. So what else is on the Optimist Daily today? What other headlines can we have people look at?
We got a few other ones. We have researchers discover ancient four-legged whale in Egypt. And that one's kind of cool, looking at the history of how
a walking whale.
Whales came to be in water instead of on land. And then rideshare apps are announcing protections for drivers under the new Texas abortion law. That one's an interesting one to look at. Mexico is the first country in North America to ban animal cosmetic testing. And strategies to prevent the spread of COVID-19 in classrooms this fall, which goes along with our teacher anxiety story. I think there's a few other ones. What else have we got? Yeah.
So there's the Children's Code aims to make the internet safer for kids. There's an article highlighting the intimate wedding and why it is here to stay. Solar-powered hot air balloon, which sets 32 world records. And for a little lighter side, if you want to laugh, go check out this year's Comedy Wildlife Photography finalists. This is something we actually highlight on the Optimist Daily pretty much every year, but it's just fantastic photographs of animals in nature and how it can just help lighten our mood. And that is it and more. There's, you know, we have, I think, 18,000 articles that you can source on the Optimist Daily, all with a positive solution-oriented angle on issues dealing with everything from the personal to the planetary. And that's that's it. So go to theoptimistdaily.com and check that out. And that's it for this morning's Optimist Daily Update. Thank you so much for listening. We promise to keep sharing positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in the changing world, how you can help make sure it's changed for the good. And we promise to keep covering current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and a somewhat of a reframed, just try to look for what the wins are, even in the context of something which is challenging. If you're not already an emissary and you're not already signed on to support what we do, consider it if you have the means. And you can become an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month or a little more, if you've got the means, you can help support reader-funded independent journalism that is The Optimist Daily and be a part of the solution-changing consciousness that addresses our world's biggest challenges, the problem-solving mindset. We couldn't be doing this without all of you, our wonderful listeners, our wonderful readers, and our emissary supporters.
All right, guys, let's keep The Optimist Daily free to all who need it, supported by those who can, and those that do support us, thank you so much. We will be back tomorrow with another episode.